Thursday, April 22nd. Move to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing everyone here today. Please be with those who are ill. Please be with those who have lost loved ones. Please watch over our residents, our employees, this meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent and for services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Here.
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 Councilmember
Hernandez. Here. Councilmember Martin. Here. Mayor Pierce. Here. We will move to item 5, citizens' participation. We have 4 individuals signed up this evening to speak. The first one is Mr. Roger Romans regarding
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I am addressing Council to afford you all the opportunity to correct a misstatement made at the last Council meeting. Madam Mayor, you made a statement that was directed toward myself stating that I quote, by you and your little group. This statement was both false and defamatory. Participated in or had knowledge of any activity that could be construed as an attack upon you. Your statement was based on inaccurate assumptions or spiteful gossip. It is irrelevant. Your defamatory statement accusing me of attacking you had no basis in fact, needs to be retracted, and an apology is in order. Thank you.
There will be no retraction nor apology. Thank you. All right, we will move to Sharon Schuler. Her subject is general.
Good evening. I reside at 3110 Buds Aldrin Drive in Kirby. A few council meetings back, there was discussion made about grants, and there was a lot of back and forth conversation. So I wanted to have a better understanding of how it all worked. So I emailed Mayor Pierce to inquire about the recent information that was given out at the previous council meeting concerning grants. I also looked into how grants and bonds work. I wanted to reshare with those of you in the council chamber, as well as those of you watching via the live stream, the following information. And Monique, if I speak incorrectly, please correct me later. But I think I might have it right. Okay, council as a whole had a general consensus that they would follow the 2019 street assessment as recommended by the engineer. There are two types of grants. The first type of grant is the Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG program, which is a flexible program that provides urban communities with resources to address a wide range of unique community development needs, including infrastructure, which includes streets. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, better known as HUD, administers this type of grant. These grants are being fought for by 26 communities around Bexar County. The projects have to be low to moderate income residency in order to qualify. This means the value of homes or structures. These grants are not automatically accepted and awarded. The city manager has to go to Commissioner's Court to fight for the grants. Residents of Kirby should also send letters to County Commissioner Tommy Calvert to request consideration for grant money for our streets. You can even attend the in-person meeting with Commissioner's Court and sign up to make your comments. The following projects were funded by Bexar County CDBG from 2015 to 2021. Kirby received the grants, but there is a 20% match, so the money is not free and clear. For instance, if the project was $800,000, then Kirby would be requesting a grant of $640,000. Kirby has to budget money for this purpose. The city has to submit project costs with the CDBG request. It is generally one time a year to make the grant request. Some of the projects were Telegraph and Rutledge in 2015 for $198,668. John Sterling and H. Pryor Smith Park Playground in 2017 for $79,703.13. Page Land and Theodore in 2018 for $218,028. Arneson and Scotsman in 2018 for $232,348. Hickory Hill Phase 1 in 2020, $429,012. Borchers in 2021, $353,000. And for 2022, there is a $500,000 request for Alan Shepherd Drive. The second type of grant that we go for is a Metropolitan Planning Organization, or an MPO grant. Is that correct? Okay. These are funded through the Texas Department of Transportation. MPO grants are a reimbursable grant, which means the city has to pay the bill. Paperwork is submitted within time deadlines, which have to be met by the city. Invoices are submitted, and then the money is reimbursed by TxDOT. If you miss a deadline, you do not get the grant, so the city staff has to stay on top of these grants at all times. There is criteria that has to be followed, and it is quite tedious work. These grants as well go by the value of the residences and structures. Ben Singelman and the Hike and Bike Trail were part of these MPO grants. Criteria also has to be followed in the hiring of contractors as well. Grant money must be spent within 5 years of being awarded. Another way for the city to get money is bonds. Bonds for the streets are voted on by the voters, so this could affect your taxes. The Ackerman project was approved by a bond, which was voted on by the residents of Kirby. Because the money is in the bank, it is accruing interest to pay engineering fees instead of paying these fees from the principal money. A resident can request that a bond be considered by going to the council, requesting you put on the city council meeting agenda, and then public hearings would be held to determine whether or not the bond is feasible to be on upcoming ballot. I'm hoping that the situation with the developer of the Springfield Industrial Park is resolved soon so that we can get the new commercial business in and start to bring in a very large amount of tax-based dollars, which would be a big win for the city of Kirby, the city manager, the current council, and residents. One last item I'd like for the residents to know, that the well that needs to be replaced is something that we do need, because we do not want to have any issues with our sewers should another well go down. Thank you for allowing me this time to share my information with the residents.
Thank you. Right, the next one is Mr. Anthony Jetter regarding 2924 Ackerman.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I guess y'all all know I'm back up here again. 2924 Ackerman Road has raised its ugly head again. I have requested some information from key people in this organization that I have not got any answers from. I need to know if these people have permits, whatever happened to the legality of the fact that on Chapter 150, Section 3410, Section 3410.01, moving a building or structure into Kirby that needs to be approved by City Council. Never has been done, has never been answered to me personally, why this didn't take place. So it's a thorn in my side. It's a structure that in our area is devaluing our property, and that's some of the things they've brought up. It's been brought to my attention that I'm harassing this lady. She has actually put a, some kind of restriction against me. I can't get near her or something. And it's gone on long enough. I asked to have it put on the city council agenda 2 meetings ago. Nothing has been said. I think a couple of councilmen stood up and said, yeah, we need to get some answers. If you can't give me an answer here publicly, then give me an answer through a simple email and phone call. These people are going forward like they have all their permits and they can do this. As far as I know, they're just trying to do something under the table like they have been doing all along. We have several businesses trying to move into Kirby that have not been permitted and have not been doing what they're supposed to do. These people think they can move into Kirby and do whatever they want to do. They think I'm harassing them. I just try to do it by the rules and regulations that are out there. I'm not harassing anybody. But we need answers in that area. We're not getting answers in that area. They have contractors working on the place. I don't know if they're licensed, bonded, or whatever. I think when that building got moved in, the person that moved it in has to be licensed, bonded, and insured. The guy's smoothing the cement out right now and starting to work on the parking lot. There's supposed to be permits pulled and posted.
I drive by, they're working after hours. Thanks to the police department, when I called them, they shut them down because they're working after hours. I appreciate that. But I shouldn't have to come home every afternoon, look and see something happening, and call the police. They're making a record against me saying I'm harassing them. I'm not harassing them. I am trying to make it be done right. So here again, I'm asking that either be put on the agenda or somebody please give me a call and my neighbors a call and let us know what is going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jeter. Susan, after it airs out, you're welcome to take this podium.
Good evening. My name is Susan Street. I live at 5222 Coral Mist. I'd like to address the agenda item regarding the discussion of the city manager's contract in executive session this evening. I think the timing is odd. It is not time for her contract to be renewed, but this council is going to address it anyway. Why? It appears to be a blatant show of power and indicates concern about the outcome of the upcoming election. How will this benefit the city? I believe that you should let this item be considered by the next council, whoever it might be. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that concludes citizens' participation. We will move to item 6A, consideration of an action on the regular meeting minutes of April 8th. I will entertain a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, seconded by Councilmember Hernandez to accept the regular meeting minutes of April 8th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Okay. One abstention. Item 7A, introduction of new employees.
Madam Mayor, council members, we have hired another employee. He is new to the Park and Rec Department. His name is Mr. Michael Torres. He's unable to be with us this evening. His vehicle broke down. So I'd like to welcome him aboard. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you. And please let Michael Torres know that we appreciate him choosing Kirby.
Good evening, everyone. So we had actually two employees hired recently. One of them was a full-time police officer. The other one is a full-time dispatcher. The dispatcher is Madison Harris, but she was not able to be here today. Super bubbly, super green, and happy not to be cleaning pools anymore. So she's very excited to be with us now. The second one is our full-time police officer. She's actually sitting right here with her daughter who's filming. This is Katrina Seisenbach. She actually has some experience in Somerset and came to us. And we're really happy to have her. She actually helped us today in finding a suspect out there in the brush, so that was kind of nice. So I appreciate you, and I'm welcome you to the city.
Welcome, and thank you for choosing Kirby.
Clean up that.
There's some that. Oh, okay. All right, we will move to item 8, the consent agenda for approval of quarterly investment report for period ending December 31st, 2020, and the approval of the quarterly financial report for period ending December 31st, 2020. I will entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Doing both at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I'll make a motion that we approve the quarterly investment report and the financial report period ending December 31st, 2020. Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, to accept the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Dyer? Yes. Councilmember Hernandez? Yes. Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
We will move to item 9A, presentation discussion on the City of Kirby Animal Ordinance number O-2019-865 and animal service processes. I would ask that we table this item because Ashley, our ACO, is unable to be here this evening.
Mayor, make a motion we table.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to table. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Acevedo?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Dyer?
Yes.
Councilmember
Hernandez?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor here.
Yes. All right, we will move to item 9B, discussion and possible action on, discussion and possible action on the Borchers Drive design and timeline, M&S Engineering. I believe Jared is here. Yes, there you are.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. I'm Jared Mott from M&S Engineering. I'm your city engineer, and I'm here to talk about Borchers Lane. It is a CDBG project, and what we'll be doing is doing a reclamation of the roadway, which is essentially tilling 6 inches of the roadway and adding cement treatment to it to re-fortify it, and then coming back with 2.5 inches of asphalt on top of that. The project itself, all the plans are ready, and we recommend that the plans be approved for bidding. The bidding phase will take about 4 weeks until we have bids back, and then the City Council will go ahead and award a bidder from that, and at that point, once the award is done, we expect another 4 weeks until there is actual construction happening. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
So what is the expected amount?
The expected amount is...
obviously, I know we have to go out for bids, but...
Yeah. The price that we have for the project is $542,773.97.
Borchers?
The 97 cents come from...
I want to know where the 542,000 is coming from.
That's the latest OPC that I have. Is that?
So that's based on, is that based on the additional road work for drainage? Or where did that come from? Our initial cost estimate was $388,000.
I do not know the previous OPC. This was worked on by Brady here in our office. And this
so
is
can you get the certification on that and let me know tomorrow?
Absolutely.
We budgeted for that project this year, and that is not going to be a budget.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get the shed over.
I know I did not know that that was the answer that you were going to say at all.
It's just to set shot.
So at this point, I mean, if anybody else wants to ask questions, but at this point, I don't really think that.
I don't think anything.
I do want, you know, consensus from council that, you know, we get some clarification on that, but that we're ready to go ahead and let them go out for bid so we can get this project finished this fiscal year. Talking about timeline previously, we know it'll take a couple of weeks to advertise in the paper, open your bid. Mm-hmm. Do you have an anticipated construction time frame?
Like I had mentioned before, well, I guess the construction time, we have estimated 6 months. It will be faster than that.
Okay, yeah, so ideally we'd like to have it.
That'd be right in October, November.
The fiscal year, so the sooner they bid it out, the sooner we can get to that.
We're going to have a bake sale for the extra?
And will you and staff be getting that proposal? Or what the specs are for the bid? Don't we usually have that?
Yeah, we typically, the engineer, and I know this is Jared's first time doing this, typically the engineer brings us the plans and the specs for you all to approve, and then we go out to bid.
Okay, I was just going to say, because there's not anything there, so that's why I wanted to know what the amount was, because usually we have at least an estimated dollar amount.
We got this.
So you just need a general consensus? Well, I think it should move forward, but...
Well, make a move that we accept it, man. Move forward.
So, I mean, if we want to move forward, what will happen is,
I mean,
if they give us that higher cost estimate, we'll have to amend the budget to accommodate that. We got $353,000 funded by CDBG. We only budgeted about 380-something thousand to cover the remaining portion. So, of course, it will depend on what the actual bid comes in. Sometimes it'll come in less expenses, and then, you know, we'll know the actual amount. But the maximum that we can get back from Bexar County is the $353,000.
So the 388, when was that total brought to light?
So that's the number that we had when we were doing the budget for this fiscal year. Because we had to budget what the construction cost estimate was and what the city's engineering, you know, fees were going to be. So when we go, just like we recently did for Alan Shepard, we needed a cost estimate from the engineers, and it's really just called an opinion of probable cost at that time, because of course they don't know until it's been designed. We take that opinion of probable cost, use that to apply for the grant, and then whatever the grant funds, we add the city's match and put that into the budget for the project. So in this particular case, if it's coming back higher, we have to amend the budget to accommodate that.
So do y'all already have something on top of that amount, that $542,000?
That amount that I gave you is just the construction cost, but it also includes a 10% contingency.
So it's $153,650 over what the other part is. So, and if it goes out for bid, that obviously has a cost involved as well, even if the council doesn't.
The publication and the engineer's time for bidding it is already included in their fee.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there is a phase for bidding, but that's already something that you guys have.
Yeah, because we have a proposal for M&S to basically manage this project. Even though there are engineers of record and they're on a retainer for certain services like flat reviews and coming here and various things, project by project, they give us a proposal which council has approved for their services specifically for the Fortress project. They'll have to take care of all of that within that
fee. I mean, to me, that's just a question. I'm just shocked at the amount that is jumped up. I'm like, whoa, that's...
Plus another 10%, that's another $50,000. But here's the thing. When it was approved, you got to, you know, that was a blind... It's a kind of a blind thing in a way. We did this budget process, which y'all missed, is when it was done last year, just about 2 months past this time, when we go through the whole budget and we go by line item.
But but that was actually, the $388,000 was actually the amount that we were given.
Right.
For the potential of what it would cost, which is why we only went for $353,000.
Right.
I mean, I'd have to go and look at specifically what it says and what we wanted to. I know $353,000 is what the county approved.
Correct.
And I just happened to have pulled this up from the email I sent on April 1st. This is where that came from. And I guess we'll have to talk later and see if there's some issue that happened or that didn't go through.
And see, here's the thing. If it doesn't go, if we don't let it move forward with the process, here's the thing. Remember this, folks. We can turn down any, you know, bid, whatever you want to call it, and have them redo it. If you don't let it move forward, then it just sits here right now, dead. And the project, we can't get bids, we can't do anything. And I'm not trying to, that's just how the system works. It kind of sucks, in my opinion, but if it doesn't move forward, then it sits right where it's at. And we can't, it won't happen. And I'm just, you know, that's just unfortunately the way it is. So I would suggest let it move forward, see what comes in. Once those figures, this is not a real figure, by the way. This is a scientific wild-ass guess, this way. Okay, pardon my French. But let the process move forward. Let the bids come in, or what they're saying, and then you can make an intelligent decision based on what's there. If you don't want to do it then, you don't have to. So you're not binding anything by letting the project move. Okay?
Okay, that was my concern.
Yeah, you know, we're not bound to anything.
Okay.
When we get the actual bid,
the real money,
the bid will be open, the real bids from the contractors will be open, and we'll have to bring to council a recommendation to approve
or not.
Or reject all bids. So at that time, you'll have a real cost.
You're not dealing with real money right now. This is kind of like Monopoly.
But
you're not locked into anything, okay?
You do need to move forward because, again, CDBG fund $353,000, they have a time frame on that as well. So they funded that for this year with the intention that by December 31st of this year, that'll be finished and reimbursed.
Correct.
So we don't want to delay it too much more.
Okay. I was going to ask you, do you have to have this particular meeting, or can it wait until the next meeting?
Well, you just, Mike Thomas, nothing's going to change.
And wait. Two weeks. I'd rather wait 2 weeks than pay an extra $200,000.
You're going to delay the bidding process. And these two numbers are not set yet.
Right, not only that, but you already look at it 8 weeks from, if we do it tonight, it's 8 weeks out. If you do it again, then it's 10 weeks out. And the thing is, Thomas, the figures are not going to change because we don't have real money. There's no going back to the engineers. There's nothing. That's not going to happen. This is their guess of what's going to happen. Until it goes out for bids, nobody's going to have any real figures. And without real figures, nobody can make a good decision.
If they come back with this higher amount, you can turn it down once they present it to us.
We're not locked into anything.
We're not locked into it. If they come up with that higher number, we can say, oh, no, we're rejecting that bid.
Right.
Which would be properly so.
But again, until we get real bids, real figures, the real deal, we can't make an honest decision. Well, you can't make a decision.
Is there a general consensus to move forward?
Yes, ma'am. Do you want that in a motion?
I don't think we have to motion. Do we want a motion? No.
Okay.
Move forward.
Move forward.
Yeah.
Move forward. Move forward. All right. Move forward. All right. That's the general consensus, right? All right. I just don't want to have a whole long discussion about price because, again, it's not, but it's not going to be set in stone there.
Sure.
All right. We'll move to item. Thank you, Jared. We will move to item 9C, discussion and possible action on the purchase and installation of a generator at well site number 2.
Again, good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. You all should have, I believe, two packets in front of you, one regarding the extended explanation of the dollar cost as well as the different scenarios. And the second packet that you should have been handed late this evening, I apologize for the lateness of the hour. And the second one is the number one option and then the number two option. And these are a little more clear as to what is going to be expected as opposed to the general overall discussion regarding the genset for well two. I have the expert, Mr. Mac McCullough, here this evening that prepared all of the documentation here before you. If you all would like to ask him some questions, and he will be more than happy to address the council and the mayor with all of his expertise regarding these issues. Mr. Mac, would you come up?
That's what I was saying. Okay. So, one of the things is that we have two well sites in the city, as we discussed this before, because I know we talked about some work that needed to be done previously. And so, the well site that this is being proposed for is the one that is currently operating the entire city right now. And it does not have a backup generator. And it does not have a backup generator because it's the smaller of the two. It's the 250,000 gallon.
Yes, ma'am.
250,000 gallon above ground storage tank. And so our intent is that to always, you know, with the exception of when they're being cleaned and inspected and painted as required by TDEQ, you want to always have both of your water towers functioning. We purchased the generator for the other water tower a few years back. That was the larger one. We thought that was more important to keep that one functioning in the event of a power outage. But we learned recently, not just in the winter storm, but we had a CPS power outage about 2 weeks ago that lasted for several hours in the middle of the day. So our intent was always to go back and purchase a generator for this well tower as well. We just feel like this is something to bring to the forefront now, even sooner, because if we have another power outage while the other well site is down being repaired, then potentially after a certain number of hours, we could run out of water if there's no power to operate the tower. So that's how we got to this point. We want to bring this information forward. We would not be able, we're not asking tonight for you just vote to hire the students because it doesn't make sense. That would require us to do some bidding as well, which is how we purchased the generator the last time. That
we appreciate
being able to come in and
explain that to us in a little bit more detail.
Any questions
about that before he?
Hi, Mike.
Yes, sir. These two, I see you guys have just two generators here, right?
Yes, sir. A brand new generator, never been used, never been operated. And a used generator, preferably purchased from the Texas surplus system, in which it is they're generally military units that have very well maintained history, and the runtime hours on them are generally lower than you would expect for their age.
All right. What I want to ask you, and because I don't know, how long does it? How many gallons does the city usually use in a day? How long will it take to fill that tower?
The city utilizes, and now this is variable, whether it's you're speaking about the summertime, you're speaking about the wintertime, but if you were just to take a rough ballpark average figure for the year, it's approximately 600,000 gallons per day. The elevated storage tank at Pepperdine Lane, which is the current well number two, that stores 250,000 gallons. The elevated storage tank at well three is capable of storing 500,000 gallons. So with the two elevated storage tanks, you have probably 20 hours worth of water. We also have a 1 million gallon storage tank at well three that is currently has only a few feet in it. I've been trying the last couple of days, and I'm sure you all saw where we've put out that you may experience low water pressure throughout the day. So I tried something. It has not been as successful as I had hoped that the endeavor would be, but we're still working in that direction to continue to have more backup water should anything, God forbid, happen to well two until we can get this genset online.
But really, what I'm asking is, whether we have a new generator or a used generator, we still pump the same amount of water that we need in a day.
Yes, that's correct. As long as you have that genset. But if you don't have that genset, then you have no power. If should CPS drop out,
right,
we will have no capability at this point in time.
We need one, period.
Yes, sir.
We need, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Door number one or door number two? Door number one or door number two?
Door number two, my opinion.
So if it's okay, I'd like to invite Mr. Mac McCullough up here to speak to any questions or issues that you all may have.
Actually, I would like just like him to present what he proposed.
Yes, ma'am.
Just that, and then that way if we have questions.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Mac?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, sir.
Good evening, Council, Mayor, Manager Vernon. My name is Mac McCullough. I'm with MC2 Generator Electric. I live in Wimberley. I stopped on 35 to give my name to someone who had a wreck in front of me, so I'm late, and I appreciate your indulgence. And more than that, I probably appreciate mostly your serving. I can truly appreciate that you've served, you've elected to serve, because I've spent 16 years in each of you's role, either as a council person or as a mayor in Wimberley. So I have a better grasp than a lot of people do about the significance of what you face. Mike stated that correctly, and Councilman, you did. You've only as good as what you've got in the big tank. And that tank fills excruciatingly slow when it's empty. And you go, and you turn to your public works director and say, can you stop the usage a little bit so we could get it up a little higher? But it is what it is. I initially had turned in a proposal somewhere in the $300,000 range. Right now, the generator market is in an upheaval. It's hard to get pricing from responsible vendors because right now they don't have to price. They can just wait you out and say, we've got one, what are you willing to pay for it? And that was the case with the first price that I submitted. And that was from a local popular dealer, and I have no animosity towards them, except they were very high priced. And we knew we had other pricings if we could get them to respond to us. Finally, we did. That's what culminated in the second bid that you have that's dated today, where the total price is $148,000. I have, and that generator set that is included in that package is made by the same manufacturer that you have at well number three now. That's a Generac generator set. I don't know that it would be identical to the set that you have now, but from the same manufacturer, it's pretty close to pretty safe assurance that it would. And I think that set proved itself quite capable back in the February storm, so I have no reservations about using that brand or that model at all. The other alternative, or one alternative that we have, would be right down the street off of Ackerman, is the Texas Facilities Commission. As the Public Works Director mentioned, they get, through the course of time, over a year, 6 months, they get a number of good used sets. This set in this category size would not be a military set. This would have come out of a government building that was in its same application that you're talking about, using it in a standby mode. It would have not had a lot of hours, and it would be a popular brand. That's typically how they buy them. So. And when you, if you bought from the Texas Facilities Commission, you've got a 30-day bring it back, no questions asked policy. So if we went that route or you went that route, you would always have that as a exit procedure if you didn't like what you got. Beyond that, what can I answer? I've seen the dilemma you're facing. I've experienced it. The Public Works Director and I were in the what I call the shed over at well number two, and he pointed out to me and asked me what if I saw certain circumstances, did I think that was normal? I said, no, it wasn't. And that's where he pointed out that the what we'll call the contactor or the switch that turns on the 200-horsepower pump you have at well number two was blackened and charred, and it was short-lived at best. So we made emergency plans to change that out, and we did, and we now have a soft start there, which allows the motor to gradually come up to speed rather than just across the line, as it's called. And I think that was a good move on the manager's part and the director's part. Beyond that, the well site number two is I called it a shed for lack of wanting to call it a shack. It's in bad shape. You're going to have failures there imminently. It's hot in there. There's no air conditioning. There's no ventilation. And all of these parts and these soft starters, motor starters, all of them generate nothing but heat when they transfer that amount of energy between the load and the non-load. And that was highlighted several weeks ago, Councilman Martin, when you mentioned it, when we lost power for 2 hours. I think it was 4 hours or so. I don't remember. I was in contact with the Public Works Director via phone and was trying to make arrangements that if it didn't come back on, he felt like he had a threshold that he had to have some sort of a generator set in place to adequately serve, because we were looking, in his words, at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, when the majority of citizens start returning home. They either want to do dishes or take showers or whatever they do, and therein starts a greater demand on the system. So fortunately, CPS popped back on electricity in time and made that situation go away. But even with the power there, the fact that the tank had drawn down to the level it had, and your pump is pumping about 850 gallons a minute. But when you look up at that tank, and if you haven't done so, you ought to go down there and look at it. That's a damn big hot tub up there. And when you're trying to fill it at 850 gallons a minute, you think it'd fill up pretty quick, but it's incremental. It just creeps up when half a million gallons. You can figure that out in eighth of an inch is how many gallons. So that's what's really driving the overall need, and that's what I'm here to answer. Any questions that you've got for it, please.
I have a couple of questions. So the estimate for the Texas Facilities Commission, that one you have I see on here, $120,000. I see on here says it could last up to 25 years. So my question was, and I'm sorry, I missed the point when you said, you said it had a warranty for 30 days, or what was that?
No, you can return it back in 30 days if you don't.
Okay, in 30 days. That's the only warranty on that one?
Right.
Okay, so on this other one for the new estimate that we got tonight, is there a warranty on this one?
Yes, ma'am, there is. There's a new warranty that comes from the factory, and then there would be warranty on the work we would do, but the primary warranty you would probably be most concerned about would be the engine and the generator, and that's explained. And let me apologize. I'm sorry I got here late on this. I've got a complete set of specifications here. If I could approach or somehow get you these specifications, I think that would help make this. These are inverted. There's one set up, one set down, so it's easy to separate out. But this price and this quotation is from Waukesha Pierce, who furnished you the set that you have now, and it's pretty extensive in terms of what the set will come with and what it won't. It includes a fuel tank, almost a 700-gallon fuel tank, which that's proven to be almost a necessity that we discovered in the February storm, that typically a day tank won't last. You're going to need it more in a day when you get into a condition like we had in February.
So I will say that just from looking at the information from the first proposal to the second, I mean, if the from the Texas Facilities Commission program, well, that is used, correct?
Yeah.
So that's used, and that's $120,000. Then you have a brand and only for 30-day warranty. But then you have the new $148,000, and the warranty is extended longer. I mean, I think.
Councilman, I think I'm going to disagree with you. The set from the Texas Facilities Commission would be $15,000. The total option under option two on today's submittal dated April 22nd total under option two is $73,028.
Right.
And the generator set standalone by itself would be about $15,000. It may be less. I don't think it would be more from the Texas Facilities Commission. And
so you're
and
talking 88?
I'm sorry, sir?
You're talking 88?
$88,000? No, sir. The option two on today's bid estimate says $73,028 total.
Right. Oh, total.
Total.
Is that turnkey?
Yes, sir. That includes all the work that's outlined below the $89,428 on the front of that page. Okay. That talks about taking down the shed, demolishing it, getting it rid of it, and building a new shed in that same platform and same rough design, insulating it and air conditioning it and heating it.
So either option on the generator, this 89 will get the structure redone, whether we buy used or new.
That's right. The structure the structure is going to be required either way, sir.
Gotcha.
And it's I think that price by itself was $58,600.
Right.
So you've got a core price the way I view it. $58,600. Then whether you want to spend the $90,000 more, $80,000 more for a new set, or the $10,000, $15,000 for a used set, that's certainly your discrimination of how you, or your decision how you want to make it.
So the warranty on the new one, how long would that be?
It's there before you, but I believe it's 3 years.
3 years compared to 30 days for a used one.
Exactly.
Well, I stay with the warranty. All that is if we don't like it or something happens, you can turn it back, and all the wiring and all the insulation and everything you put into it is gone.
You're saying if you didn't like it, then you could turn it back in, but all the other infrastructure would remain?
Correct.
That's correct. Yes,
and
sir.
But I'm saying is that money that we put in for part of the infrastructure stays there.
That's right. That would all of that, every bit of that would remain useful. There's none of it that would not remain completely.
So that would be the 58.6.
Yes, sir.
But it comes by days. It don't come by hours.
So it's a specific.
Hang on.
The set that.
I need it for 2 months.
The set that we could probably, hopefully, if you wanted to get from the Texas Facilities Commission, would come both ways. You could buy it by age, or you could buy it by hours. The hours are typically, it's hard to say, Councilman Grant or Martin. I probably wouldn't see, I haven't seen one more than 300 or 400 hours in a long time, and which is no hours really.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But if we buy one, have a 3 year warranty, and we don't use it for 3 years.
You won't have 30 hours, barring a climatic incident. You won't put on 20 hours a year, be my best guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. So you won't run out of hours on your warranty, that's for sure.
Yeah, they all come with a meter with certified hours on them that I've seen.
Councilman Grant, can you turn your microphone down where I can
hear? I'm sorry. I said they all come with a meter that's certified on there on the hours.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir. They do. And there's no turning those back, really.
No.
Those are today's generator sets are pretty well microprocessor controlled, and it's pretty hard to do. I've never seen it done, but I understand it would be hard to do.
I don't think the government, I don't believe the state would do it.
I think that's a safe assumption, sir.
Well, okay, so if I get this right, if just say we bought the one from the state, and what would turnkey be on that? Can you kind of give us that price?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That all of that infrastructure
is
work.
73?
Yes, no, sir, the 58,600.
Mm-hmm.
Look down there about the fourth paragraph, Councilman. 58,600. That is the infrastructure work that would be done and would pass through to either set that you get. There'll be nothing either way, that would have to be done or undone. That's a given.
Right, yeah. For the generator. Okay, now is the 15 for the generator? I know when I've been there before with another city, depending on the hours and the age and thing is how the state prices them. So is 15,000 an average?
15,000 is probably a cap. They typically price them on and I'll give you a short treatise on how this facilities work. The state of Texas will get this generator set from whatever activity it comes from
right.
for free.
Okay.
They will pay nothing,
right.
but they're obliged to pay the trucking or the transportation cost from wherever it is to here to San Antonio. And therein, then they will take some sort of a, and it's a moving matrix of how they do it. Right now, there's no real explanation for it. They're not holding anyone up, but it, what may have been 10,000 last week may be 12,000 this week.
Gotcha.
It's kind of supply and demand, and that's not their premise. That's not how they work, but it is a variable that comes into play right now.
Well, I know I bought used Crown Vicks from the state before, and it depends on year and mileage and things of that nature. And I know there is a all of them have a wiggle room, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm. They do. There's some strong arm negotiations you can do.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some arm wrestling. It depends on whether you want to verbalize it or physically arm
wrestling. Oh, no, I understand. We used to buy three, fix two, keep one.
Sure.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I think the set could probably, you know, I'm reluctant to say this, but I think you could get it for less.
Good.
And I would think more in the $10,000 range.
Okay. Well, that's you know, because we've got to spend the money. Obviously, you already know that by your own experience. You got to get your best dollar, and you got to squeeze it till George Washington screams.
I've made that observation vis-a-vis the public director, or the public works director. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Very much.
Oh, I just wanted to make it clear. The brand new generator is $89,000.
Yes, sir. Standalone, that generator. And that price is going to be... I didn't mark that up. That's a direct reflection, as you can see on your proposal from Waukesha Pierce.
Yeah.
That's a moral compass thing that I work from. That I don't bring any real value. I spent 3 hours beating guys up on the phone trying to get a price, and that's it. So
I mean, that's fine.
I haven't had any value to it.
We're going 15 compared to 89.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And maybe less.
And maybe less.
I think common sense has got this.
Oh yeah, in the back.
So Monique, what do you need specifically?
So, I mean, really at this point, if you all are just proving that we move forward with this process of getting a generator now, then we'll work with, you know, Byboard and trying to get one purchase for the top. Well, so you also need to tell us if you want to go new, you want to go used, and then we'll know what direction it is.
So the amount that it comes to still is Byboard, right?
We're not going to go with any numbers today. We've got to get
gotcha.
Finalized
gotcha.
Numbers. We're going to go when you're telling us to move forward with a new one or move forward with a used one. And then
do you want to end a motion or do you just... Okay. All right.
I make a motion. We go with number two.
I second.
With what?
Number two.
Which is, oh my goodness gracious.
I used, previously owned by a little old lady who only turned it on once a year generator.
Right. So there's a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant for a used, seconded by Councilmember Martin for a used generator. Is there any discussion? If there is,
yes, ma'am.
Time.
I was going to ask. Since we're buying used, can we just go ahead and get two used ones so we have a backup? And we don't have to worry about this problem again should that one break down. It's like 10,000 more.
Right. But the thing is, one, that doubles the expense. Two, you don't really need another one because the other, well, I already have one. He's playing, you know, with this one, the lifespan of it is a little bit longer because it goes by the hours.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes.
The other thing is, too, Thomas, for whatever it's worth, is that how do you maintain one just sitting there? It's like an old car. If you don't take care of it, it deteriorates sitting there. This will be in use, and as Councilman Martin pointed out and Mr. McCullough, the fact is if you turn it on, you're going to turn it on, a couple times a year to make sure it's going, running about 5-6 hours, that's about it. So... in reality, the hours are not going to really, unless we hit another 19-degree weather, and that's it. So I understand what you're saying.
Councilman Salazar and Grant, you're both correct. I would advise you, I think that would be money wasted at the end of the day in a candid conversation, that Councilman Grant has brought out that if it just sits there, age and humidity, and especially in this locale, you're going to see some deterioration. And it's not easily started or run. These things weigh in this range about 15,000 pounds.
Right.
So we've got to protect it the whole time we have it. And I appreciate where you're coming from, Councilman Salazar, and that more applies to a smaller set.
Hernandez.
That's okay. Keep going.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm fine, sir. Go ahead.
Closely enough. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But you both have a good point, but in reality, it's kind of false economy in my experience.
Well, the first thing to do is the windings in the motor, because if you don't run it, you're gone.
If you listen to Councilman Grant, I believe he's got all the answers that you need, and I mean that sincerely. That's where it affects. The humidity will set in.
Well, not only that, with the new infrastructure, it's going to help protect that generator.
Right. With what he's building, it's going to really take care of it.
The infrastructure that we had was not able to accommodate, of course, what we had there before, and it went bad quicker. Now with the new infrastructure, we buy the used one, it'll last longer.
Sure.
Councilman Grant's got the exact tenements of what the preservation and the obstacles are with that the windings will soak in moisture and humidity over the course of time, and that becomes a very vulnerable point.
Councilmember Greider.
Is there a maintenance cost?
Yes, ma'am, there is, and I don't, am I, I'm not seeing a name for in front of your...
Greider.
There is, but typically that would be drawn up between the city and the provider of the generator set that you come out once a month or every 3 months or whatever frequency you all can agree on. And there again, once you get it in place and you see a cycle of demand that's put on it, you can also kind of judge. But we do it several ways, once a month, once a quarter. It's a shootout of whichever way you want to go.
Yeah, we will have to approve that.
We can get Public Works to pull maintenance on, go and start it once a month, once a week, whatever. Make sure the batteries are up.
Right.
Right, right. Yep.
And the other thing is that within every department budget, departments that have generators try to accommodate within their building maintenance or
right.
maintenance
their own budget.
That annual, if we're going to do it quarterly, right. They build that into their budget for every year.
You're all on top of it. I haven't had a bad question, heard you say anything bad yet. You know what you're talking about here.
You ain't left yet.
That may be true, too. Yeah. Okay. I'll back up.
Well, no, you know, it's again, this is something that you talk about a blindside. This was the maximum blindside.
Yep.
All right. And so we have a motion. Second.
Yes, ma'am.
Any further discussion about this specific item? All right. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Yes.
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 All right. So staff has direction of which way to go. Thank you, Mr. McCullough, for being here.
Appreciate it.
And for your explanation.
Thank you, and I appreciate your accepting me being late.
And your much loved proposal.
Thank you.
All right. If we can, I would like to deviate from the agenda and move to item I, which is update discussion and possible action on personnel services agreement between the City of Kirby and Emergency Services District Number 11. Anyone have any
objection
to that?
Nope. I have no idea what District 11 is, ma'am.
We had it on the last agenda.
All right.
Aye.
I don't remember it.
We have our President True and we have Chief Wentz here with ESD 11.
You want to come up and introduce yourself for
I can stand. My name is John True. I'm the President of the Emergency Services District Number 11. Kirby has a contract with us for fire service. We started in 2008, just to remember yesterday. I have voted the people in the area, and BSD was formed. The difference between us and you is you have a city and run numerous departments. We have one cause, and that's taking care of the people. We do the emergency service, first responder, fire. We have one station that, you're all familiar with, it's on Ben Zingelman, next to Texas Farm Drive, and we run five people 24 hours a day out of that station. Prince Francis, I can spray the ground, and Walton Road. If you turn on Walton, like Whataburger, and you go out there just before you get to the railroad tracks, there's going to be a new station built there. You'll be ready to ground shortly, and we'll do the same there. Our contract, it ends in October fiscal year of next year, but we have chosen to go on and on and hire our own department. I want to introduce this to Richard Wendt. Like you're familiar with, Richard was the chief at Congress. He started out here at Kirby, and we chose him to be our chief, and he's in the process of putting this department together. You're going to get a letter that we're going to break our contract. We're going to be out on our contract. You're going to get a letter June 1st. This is kind of premature, but I've been working with Monique and the mayor. They're quite familiar with what we do. If you have any questions about what we do and how we do it and the money, Monique can answer questions, and we'll be glad to help you with understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it. I know that it's going to put a strain on the city of Kirby because at the present time we pay $650,000 a year for your city. For fire support. This started out, this thing started out where the city of Kirby had supplied the people, the fire trucks, the ambulance service, the whole nine yards. We evolved to all the equipment belongs to us, the fire station belongs to us. And we pay what I call a labor contract. Because you're supplying the people, we're supplying everything else. Well, that price has evolved from $450,000 a number of years ago to $650,000 now. We've never questioned about equipment. As a matter of fact, when Chief O'Farrell was acting chief, we swapped equipment. 20 year trucks went down. We sent one of ours to back it up in July 1st. We still do that. So we still help each other to the hill. And I can promise you that this contract, when it goes away, we're still there to help. We'll entertain anything that you want to do. We're in a position where we really have the manpower to service your community as well as our own. So it's not up to you people what you do. We're here to help. That's what we do. We just have to be, if y'all are familiar with it, we passed a sales tax last year, and our sales tax income afforded us the ability to move on, build another city. As a matter of fact, we're looking for a little piece of property for a Thursday. But we got one, we got really lucky about a piece of property here in Ben Zingelman, and the road, the house road, is a crest. We've been over 1,000 homes that built there in the last 2 years. So it's all falling into place for us. And we want to continue to help you. Whatever we can do, just let us know. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, I mean, the reason this is on the agenda is because we have multiple requests to talk about it, and as Mr. True mentioned, our intent was to wait until we received formal notice from them, but what we can go ahead and do tonight is if council feels like we want to start having a discussion about what will take place with the separation. For information purposes right now, Mr. True already mentioned, we get $651,000 a year from the ESB to provide personnel for their station. It's paid to us quarterly, so it's divided up over the four quarters of the year. So we know that October 1 of this year, we would go independent, where we would not need all of the staff that we have staffed two stations. We currently have in our budget one chief and 24 paid full-time firefighter EMTs or paramedics. one or the other facility. We currently have 8 people on duty at a time on a day where everyone is able to come to work. That's 4 at the ESD station and 4 at the Kirby station. That's where we get that times 3 shift to the current budgeted personnel. What we need to talk about most importantly is what number is the city of Kirby going to go down to still be able to provide appropriate fire and EMS services for our community. TPSC says technically for fire you should have 2 in and 2 out. So at a minimum, we really should go down to 5 per shift. Prior to them opening up their second station, we only had 4 per shift. But when we did, the double that, it was because we still had that backup from each station. So we appreciate that we'll still have that backup from the ESD, and we'll have other mutual aid, but realistically, we should be able to staff our own city with a minimum of 5. But in doing that, that's an expense that we'll be paying at 100%. And so what I did want to show, Patty, if you'll give me the number.
Did I misunderstand you and said that they own everything, they own all the equipment, the fire truck, the fire building and everything, fire station?
At their station, yes, sir.
Oh,
not
at our station.
No,
theirs.
That's what I'm just saying.
Yeah,
so we have our own thing on their
station. Yeah, that's what I mean. I want to get that clear.
So just what Patty is giving you is just some financial analysis depending on what level of staffing we did. And just to give you an idea right now, I want to share in our current fiscal year budget, I want to give you the total dollar amount that is just for salaries and benefits. So in our current budget, $1.3 million is what's in the fire department budget just for salaries and benefits. So out of that $651,000 that we get in revenue from the ESD combined with the city, budget is how we get to this 1.3, and it really pays that strictly the personnel. So that breakdown that I just passed out to you will show you a couple of options. The first page is going to show you if we went back down to a staff of 12, which is just 4 per shift, with our current pay structure, with a proposed, it says current, but this would be the proposed pay structure to go through our proposal. So at that dollar amount, the highlighted number on the far right shows you how much that would cost. So you think about now, we're at $1.3 million, you go down to $727,000. You go to page 2, if you go to an even higher salary increase, which is something that we were working toward getting in the pay scale when discussed, for 12,
cool.
Deal 4 on every shift, $815,903. And if you go to page 3, we went to 15 per shift at that proposed rate that we would be looking at, it's $882,000. And then if you go to that last page, if we went to 15 per shift at that higher page, it's $992,793. So, and again, all being paid 100% out of the city of Kirby budget. So, yes, ideally, we want to get to a higher pay for fire. We've got to work toward doing that for all of our employees. That's our goal. But just wanted to give you a reference, and none of those numbers were decided upon, but just to give you kind of an idea of how much that is going to cost. And again, you really do need to try to go to 5 per shift because they need that backup. That may also help us in the event that one person calls off shift. So right now we rely on part-timers to be able to come in to get to that minimum staffing of 4. If we went to a 5 crew and one person calls off, we know that it's not ideal, but we could move forward with just that 4 without having to bring in a part-timer to assist.
Can we bring back the volunteers?
So TCRP also has rules about what volunteers can do. So, yes, we definitely want to bring back volunteers, but you still have to have your certified
fire department
people
be fire approved. Right. So, if we have volunteers, we can keep it at a minimum. That would help. The office of volunteers a little bit of something more.
Well, if they can volunteer, as long as they're certified. So this is just, again, just to give you, to put it out there for you to start thinking about, because, we hear a lot of discussion about this. So, yes, the revenue is a high amount that they pay us, but realistically, all of that revenue that we get from them, it pays the personnel right now. We don't really, it's not like we're banking a big deal or a big amount of the money that we're getting from the ESD contract. It's paying 100% for the salaries and the benefits.
So we're looking at that 15, not at 12, right?
But we can do it with 12.
So what do we
ask? Well, it's not advisable.
Advisable. But I was going to suggest maybe we get one or two floaters. Or how much does it cost for, I guess, overtime?
I can't hear you. Can you go to your...
I am so sorry. Okay, so we can do it with the 12. But we want to go up to the 15 just so we have, I guess, floaters to cover people that are absent and stuff.
Well, they'd be part of the shift, but if one of them falls off, they can still move forward with a four-person crew without having to bring in a fifth person if not available.
So where is...
But
where
five would be scheduled.
But where is EMS fitting in this?
This is... So for us, we would continue to run both fire and EMS.
No, but I'm saying the five people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you have your four,
you got
four or five guys that are paramedic
on
every,
ideally on every shift, if we went to the five.
So you'd have four?
You have an off, like you said, an off shift. They rotate around. So you need 5 days, 5 guys, and 5 off.
No, I'm talking about people. So we have five people on every shift times
right.
Every shift.
Right.
On
that's COVID. Right. Yeah.
And that answers the question. Yeah. So we have in that five, you have your fire and your EMS.
So can I put Mr. Michigamba on the spot?
Sure.
He's here.
Raise your hand.
No, I can't even see his hand raised because I'm looking here, but he's in here.
No, I was just going to say here, as far as EMS-wise, two are on the ambulance,
right.
Three are on the fire truck,
right.
And also if you have the three, and this is something that's why the five works out better, is if you have the EMS call, we utilize our backup EMS, we still have somebody left in the city that's left on the engine.
Right.
So it's still going to be the five, yes, it's great, the more the merrier, and it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
But that's why you can go before it was. Five would be great. That's a great start. But then two would be on EMS, two would be available for EMS backup, and one would be in the city on the engine, and stay in the city until the ambulance is returned. But then one paramedic, ideally, and at least the rest firefighter, EMTs are fired. Or dual certified paramedic would be great.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So, can you break that down? I'm just trying to write it down. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not. So let's say right now on a shift, night shift, how many people would be in the station?
Four. Right now or proposed?
Yes, I'm sorry. Proposed.
And crew.
There would be one paramedic.
One paramedic. Okay.
And then a minimum of a paramedic. And it could be a paramedic firefighter. It doesn't matter. But at least one medic. And then four firefighter EMTs.
Which potentially could be a paramedic as well.
Sure.
Yeah, they can be cross trained.
We also would like to have a firefighter paramedic.
Right.
A certified firefighter as a paramedic also.
Right.
If they're not, we can't use them for the fire. They're basically just going to be in help out of duty, but they can't do any firefighter functions.
And do we have currently, are all the everybody dual certified currently?
No, ma'am. Okay. For the most part, there are, we hire paramedic only as well.
So, can you take us, because I know that you've done this as well as Richard back there, but can you take us through a call that, because we know that it either is, I'm not even going to say that word, it's either nothing's happening or it's all going. So can you give us a scenario of what would happen if you had two EMS calls, a fire call, whatever? What would happen?
So we utilize the EMTs that we have, the 11s, and then also 10s, and we can also use...
But, I mean, what would the city look like as far as y'all being gone? So you would have, if you had to have both ambulances out, that's two, because you have to have a driver, mm-hmm. and then you also have to equip your ambulance with at least one person in the back with the patient. So now you've got four people of a five-man crew on an ambulance.
And only one
between
on
the two ambulances and one firefighter.
And
I'm saying this because it does happen.
Right.
And it will happen. And that's what I said, unless you've seen run reports or unless you're close to that emergency service, you wouldn't think that happens, but it does happen more often than not.
And then we have to utilize the meeting EMS, the conference, somebody else
can
come in.
Which is why sometimes when somebody is like, well, so-and-so Acadian came to our house when I called EMS, that's why.
Yeah.
Because
right.
It does happen where, unfortunately, our staff is completely slammed within our own community. Even though we're a small city, it does happen.
It's inevitable. One always triggers the other. When you get that first call, the second one comes.
I just wanted everybody to understand, if there was two EMS calls back to back or at the same time, which does happen, then that five-man crew, you've already got four people already taken with the ambulance.
Yeah, and then if one person's in charge, then we have to respond, first respond for the meeting and conference, EMS group, we have to come in AMR, but it, like you said, happens more often than not. So the five is better than
thank you.
Well, I kind of agree with what Mike was saying. I think maybe, we'll go with the five, but I still think eventually you're going to need more manpower, and maybe the volunteer program would help you out with some of that.
And in the past, how dependable has having volunteers come in, is that a good thing? Has it been a good thing in the past? Or
the problem is not so much that volunteers, yes, and when we were one time we had 30, 40 people across the street, but it's dwindled down to nothing. You can't get people to volunteer anymore.
Okay.
It's really what the problem is. Because you'll have a couple people, but then those couple people have jobs.
Right, yeah.
The solely relying on volunteer department is very complicated.
It doesn't work anymore.
Honestly, it's not going to happen.
It's going to have to work. We don't have money. We can have to do anywhere else.
Supplement that, a paid certified firefighter being there. Yes, they were great back in the day, but that was back in the day. And you can ask Richard. I mean, look at all the volunteers we used to have here. It's people aren't volunteering like they used to. It's just like what we saw with our fundraisers at the park. I mean, it just went down. People weren't volunteering. People weren't doing what they used to do. Back in volunteering, I guess it meant something, but right now, we were down to just a couple people. Until now, they're even gone. So there's no more volunteers that we have right now.
Okay.
Well, the sad thing is, too, you got to remember, a volunteer has to carry his own load as far as going to school and different things of that nature. And it's just like reserve police officers. I can tell you, a reserve police officer, just to start, is about $1,200. That's one uniform, a weapon, your gear, your boots, the whole nine, and it's all on him. And then you have to go to school. And that can get expensive real quick. Just like right now, I have to maintain 40 hours every 2 years. Well, I just spent, for all the classes, $465 to take the classes that I need to maintain my license. And that's on me. But, you know, and I would volunteer here, but it's a conflict of interest, you know, but that's where I started.
So is that just what you need, just a general consensus?
Yes, I mean, that way when we start budget workshops, we'll know what number of personnel we're looking to consider.
For sure, need five beast.
I think five would be...
Five beast cheap.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I was going to ask, right now we're doing 24, right?
Yeah, we have 24 full-time people. That's four on every shift.
So we can drop it down to 15 and pay people more and stop losing people that we have to keep training?
Where are you going to get that extra money that you're...
However we do it.
That, where the ESD is... The $651,000 that's contributed by the ESD is gone.
Is that, are they... We're providing the people the right...
What?
They're pulling out of the...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So there goes our $600,000+.
The $651,000 that they contribute is for manpower.
Oh, so they can just pay for their own manpower.
Yes, that's what President was saying, because they don't have any overhead with any other city department except for, that's all they do, fire and EMS, that's it.
I thought we were paying for
it. Not that all, but
no.
That they don't have to worry about anything else except equipping the stations and the personnel.
I know this, I'm not sure if, well, since we're on this agenda item, but I think it ties into the American Rescue Plan Act. Like, can we use some? I mean, can I ask that now, or I need to wait?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we use some of that money towards the fire department?
Yeah. So most likely, you'll be able to use some of that money for employee pay, but just know that it expires in 3 years.
Right.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the item. But yes, that is an option.
Okay. So we're providing 8 right now over there, and then we have 16 over here.
We have a total of 24 on the payroll, total of 24. So at every shift, which we work with 48.96, so at every shift, we have 8 people working.
Right.
4 of them are in Kirby at our station, and 4 of them are in the ESD at their station. So what we're saying is that starting October 1st, we're not going to have anybody at the ESD station. They're going 100% independent. They will not pay us any more money. So we will go down to, if y'all agree, 5 per shift. So then we're going to turn that 24 full-time personnel into 15 full-time personnel. We're going to pay for it all ourselves, 100%.
And they're going to hire the other people.
Yeah, they're going to have their own.
They hire their own people.
The other state was, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then okay, we just, that's the 9 we drop.
Now, to kind of put that into perspective, as I mentioned earlier, right now with the 24 staff both stations, it's $1.3 million. And if you just go down to, if you look at that third sheet, I guess you go down to the 15, at that proposed pay, that's $882,000. So it's about a $419,000 difference. So if you think about them paying us $651 minus the $419, that's the additional amount of money that Kirby's going to end up paying.
Right.
So that's kind of what we'll be playing with for, you know, budgetary purposes.
It's substantial, but it's not it's doable.
And again, you know, like Councilman Hernandez mentioned, I mean, our turnover is high, and we do understand that. And so now we have to compete with them because they've got a lot of money out there in the county.
Come on, guys.
But they're going to pay higher than what we pay. I have no idea what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be higher than what we pay. So we do need to do something about our pay, which is what's proposed here, so that we can try to keep our staff and say that cost of the turnover may not be as competitive, but be a little bit better. Now, the other piece, if we have consensus on that, which I want to move to 15, the other piece that I just want to put in your mind and start thinking about is how are we going to scale that down? Because that means somebody's going to lose their current job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the reality. You got 24 paid, you go down to 15.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How many?
If I can ask John or Richard, I don't know. When are y'all going to start hiring people? Like, when are y'all going to start staffing your department?
When are we going to start hiring?
Yes, sir. Yes, when are y'all going to start?
We're in the process right now. We have a chief and an assistant chief, and we're already advertising for captains. And the way we're building our deal is we're going to let the chief pick the assistant chief, the two of them will pick the captains, and it'll float down that way. I can tell you that, so there's no secrets here. We probably will not hire the majority of your people. The reason is we're going in a different direction. We're going to have paramedics on every ship also. We don't have the ambulances, but we have told our taxpayers that the extra money we got from sales tax, we're going to give them better service than they've ever had. And that's our plan. So we bought more equipment, we bought more for the firefighters, and when I can tell you people, if you haven't seen the ESP system work, it's quite unique. Because when you dial 911, you live in Kirby, you expect to see the Kirby ambulance. We don't have that deal. We come to the first responder, which might be one of our firefighters in an SUV. They stabilize the victim, and then a stadium comes behind and transports to the hospital. We're striving to go beyond that and do all of that too. So keep in mind, folks, when your ambulances are tied up and going somewhere, you might get one of our SUVs to your house. You could have a heart attack. So you might not be looking at a Kirby firefighter. It might be an EMS firefighter or an EMS firefighter from number 10, our same headquarters. That's the way this is. Most people don't even understand what happens after you dial 911. All you hope is that God sends somebody to take care of you. And that's what we strive to do. I don't care who comes to my house, if it's a Kirby firefighter, Congress, or whatever. I need help. And that's what we're doing. And just to finish up, Lisa, we expect to be, our contract will be after this week. Our cancellation will be done October 1st. We want to be 60 days before that, fully staffed at our station and working combined with a ship of what people still have on the contract. So we would have probably at least 9 people at our station 24 hours a day for the last 60 days. Any other questions?
The only question I have, I was understood that the employees we lost that y'all was going to hire. That's the understanding I was told.
Everybody's going to get an opportunity, but when we go to firefighters, there's a website that most firefighters are looking for fun to go to. They're going to pick the name of the car. Some of the people that we have here now might not make the cut. I've been honest with every one of them. I have meetings with your people, all three shifts, and I've told every one of them, you're going to have to apply for a job. You might not get it, because there's some really, really talented people out there in this business. And I've asked Richard to be my chief, that you will train, because we want the best that money can buy. We're going to pay them well, but we expect results.
So you may take some of our best away from us, if that's what you need.
Exactly. If they apply, yes. If they apply and they qualify, absolutely.
Well, to be honest, just the way he put it earlier, he doesn't sound like they're really taking our people. I mean, that's the way my takeaway. You're really not taking our people. Right. Understandable, but
nobody would be out of a job. That's my opinion.
Exactly.
So that's, I just want to put in your mind, the second thing that we have to think about is, how do you do that? Do you go with the last hire sold out? Do you go with, someone who are older, close to retirement sold out? So those are all things that we will have to work through, but we will be 9 people less. The other thing to think about is, as vacancies occur, because again, we have people leaving all the time to go to different agencies, how far into the end of the fiscal year do you keep filling those, knowing they're going to go away? And when you do that, you still have to be able to staff
their station and our station in that meantime, because they're paying us to do that at least through September 30th.
Bonnie, I might be able to help you. Coming from me, this, you're probably not going to like to hear this, but the reason the people are leaving your department is so you can't afford to pay them.
We know. That's
a true story. I'm not talking about anything from anybody. The reason they're applying with us is because we're going to make it. So keep that in mind when you staff your people, take care of your firefighters. They say you're right. Don't forget everyone. That the next guy that walks in, it might be Jeff, that's your governor. Remember his face, he might be the last guy you ever see when he comes to your house. Just remember that. Take care of your people.
Any more questions on that?
Can we, because I know they were mentioning what Arcadia and all those, like the contracted ambulance, can we utilize that? Would that offset some, if we use the ambulance service instead of paying, because obviously, okay, how am I trying to say this? So if we use, can we use the ambulance service instead of this, right, because
so
instead of our people, we would use them.
So there's two things. So like right now, like they mentioned, when our ambulance is not available, that is who will show up. But there's also the options where you can contract out your EMS. We've looked at that as well.
It's very expensive.
The cost proposal was about a year and a half ago. And that's to have them on retainer at all times and do away with our ambulance side. That's an option, but it's also pretty expensive.
It is. And they lock you in. They don't take like, I think it's what, 2 years minimum? Well, that's what I look at. Is it?
Is it here?
But it's pretty expensive.
Oh, it's expensive. Oh, okay. So it'll be more cost effective for us to have our own ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Richard.
Appreciate it, John.
Good. Thank you, folks. If anything we can do, you know where we're at. We'll help you anywhere we can.
Good seeing you, Richard.
See you later.
Thank you.
All right. We will move back up to the agenda. We will go to item. Are you good? All right. We will move to item 90, update and discussion about the 2021 American Rescue Plan Act. With the limited information that we have. But
so we kind of touched on it just briefly last meeting, but again, you know, March 11th of this year, the President signed into law the American Rescue Act, and that was a $1.9 trillion package that was intended to combat the COVID-19 pandemic, including public health and economic impact to cities and counties. So the information that we have right now on how that's going to work is that funds are going to be distributed from the federal government directly to counties for them to utilize their money. And then for municipalities, the worry is right now that money is going to get funneled to the state, and then the state is going to issue that money directly to the individual municipalities. So right now, the U.S. Department of Treasury is still working on finalizing what you can use the money for. So I've attended several webinars so far. We've heard from a lot of different people about what they believe you will and will not be able to use the money for. Kirby is entitled to $1.9 million of that money. What they explained to us is that you get your first half of the money by May 11th. That's your tentative date. And then you get the second half of your money 1 year after you receive the first half. The other question is, well, how are we going to get it? Is it just going to be directly deposited into our bank account? You know, what if we
Again, we still don't know. The Treasury is working out those details. But we do know that we will have until December 31st of 2024 to expend all these funds. You have in your package a copy of what they are saying right now is allowable expenses. And one of those things they do talk about is employee pay. So to kind of answer your question about that is, I attended a webinar where they had an attorney speak to that who said, if the city manager can speak to the fact that the employees worked during the pandemic because they were essential employees, then that is an allowable expense to pay them for services. So my opinion right now would be, not knowing whatever the legal paperwork is going to be, but my opinion would be the city of Kirby never shut down services during the pandemic. We continued to work. Everybody was essential. EMS kept working. Police kept working. Even when we were closed to the public, the administrative staff kept working. Public Works kept working the entire time. So if that's allowable, then if we determine in our next fiscal year budget we were going to give an X percent pay increase to all of our employees, then we know that that money can be used toward that in our budget until December 31st of 2024, after which time you'd be paying for it on your own. The other thing that they've been going back and forth about is infrastructure. So they're saying infrastructure is going to be an allowable expense. But what does that mean? They don't know yet. They don't know if that means that you can take a part of your money and pay the street. They don't know if that means you can take part of your money and renovate a city facility. They have no idea. They're just saying infrastructure will be an allowable expense of some sort. But the whole idea from what they're explaining is that that money is to help the city because of revenue that you lost during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, for example, we didn't make as much money with renting out our facilities. We had employees that were on quarantine. We may have had to bring in other employees to cover overtime. So those types of things. In a lot of the cities, they lost more money because they lost sales taxes and hotel occupancy taxes, which for us, honestly, we didn't have a huge loss there. We don't have any hotel taxes. Our sales tax is pretty much stayed stable because we don't have a strip mall or a shopping center or those types of things. So all of our businesses that bring in sales taxes pretty much kept operating and working. So there was some decrease in revenue, but it'll be dependent on what they're saying you can use that money for is how we'll be able to determine how to spend it. Now, again, it's nothing that we can take credit for. I can't take any credit for giving this money. Current city council can't take any credit for getting this money. New city council coming in can't take any credit for getting this money. All we'll be able to do after May 11th when we get this money is decide how council wants to allocate it. So that's just something to start thinking about now once we know the rules, how we want to allocate it. And again, with the understanding that you only have those in that time frame up until December 31st of 2024 to use it. So I'm thinking the best option is probably going to be to have a workshop specifically with council to hash out this is how much we get. This is, when we get the first half, when we're going to get the second half, what is it possible that you can use it for, and come up with some ideas of how they'd like to see it be used.
What's going to be the time frame for them to tell you what you can and cannot be able to use it for? So I guess we'll still be working on it.
The guest is in the mix.
But the good thing is it comes directly, I don't know how it's coming, but it comes directly to the city rather than it going to the county.
That's
and
great.
Us having to spend the money first and then getting reimbursed, it comes directly to the city.
Right.
So the next council and the next, they'll be sitting in a much better place than the city was sitting in 2020 when all the revenue...
When the pandemic...
Yeah, when the pandemic and things were shut down. In the city, however, those things were shut down. The money pieces coming in were shut down, but the services never shut down, so they were still being maintained,
right.
Which obviously put a strain on a bunch of different services. So that's a really good thing, that it's coming directly... to the city. And there was, during last year, when all of the meetings were happening. That was one of the main things that all the suburban cities were very adamant about, is the fact that we did not want to have to get the money from county.
Nope.
Because we were on a very strict timeline with county where we had to spend the money 90 days before before the actual deadline to spend the money, because county made all the suburban cities say you have not until September 30th, although the actual plan didn't end until December 31st. And then it even got extended to 2021, a whole year, this year, but no, we've already spent the money. You can't use it.
Right.
So it was a pain point for every suburban city that didn't have extra revenue, the ones that didn't have the EDC incorporations and those kinds of things. So this is a really good thing for the city, any suburban city at this point that doesn't have to go through county, and the money is there to be spent to better those services and infrastructure, whatever the council decides. So. And it's supposed to be by May 11th, which is like 900. Half of it is supposed to be, which is like 950,000. So.
The only other thing that I had not heard, and maybe Mary heard, was that whatever you don't spend, are they going to take that back?
They will, but you have 3 years to 2024. But yes, they would want it back. But they also didn't say, they said that you couldn't put it in pensions and things of that nature, but it doesn't necessarily say that you can't use it to accrue interest and, you know, things like that, that if you're, and I don't even know as far as the financial part, I don't know if it actually has to go into a specific line item, you know, like when it comes in as revenue to come in, to show that that's what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't specifically said that, but that was one of the discussions in the webinar, is that it probably is better for accounting purposes that you put it all in one place.
You can bet your biffy you're going to put it in one place.
You can track it to see, rather than it just going in the general revenue.
And then there was another discussion today at the Texas City Management Association meeting. There, several of them were saying, you know, they feel like the infrastructure you should be able to use for water and sewer improvements, which is a big deal for us right now, because we're talking about all these improvements needed at our well site and lift station. So if that is an allowable expense, that definitely will help fund those projects that we know we need to do.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions? Comments? All right, Monique, do you have anything else to add? All right, we will move to item 9. E, discussion of possible action on appointment of a member to the Planning and Zoning Committee. Okay, do not have any applications. If anybody is interested, please fill out a volunteer application for consideration of appointment. You can get them at City Hall, or they also are online under KirbyTexas.org. We have the next one is F, discussion of possible action on appointing up to 4 alternate members to the Buildings and Standards Commission. This would be for, there's currently 4 alternate vacancies. If anybody is interested in serving on that committee as an alternate, the same thing, fill out an application for consideration of appointment. Next one we have is discussion and possible action on item G, discussion and possible action on appointment of members to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. Yes, we do have an application. So it is, y'all would have received it. So there are currently 3 vacancies, and I did just want to mention about this this committee, because there is a lot of discussion and things, because it's the election year and there's a lot of discussion about beautification and beautification and things throughout the city about cleanup and stuff. I did want to make it known that the Beautification and Recycle Committee, up until not too long ago when they started, when they had less members, every first Saturday of every month, they actually did pick a street to clean up. And they would go hand-deliver flyers to those residents. And, you know, we're sitting there talking about volunteerism. Jeff had mentioned that about that. And I know that that's a hot topic as well. However, it was very rare that any resident came out of their house to help maintain their own street. So I just wanted to let everybody know that that Beautification Recycle Committee, they are mighty, and they are few, but they are mighty. So they were in the cold, they were in the heat. That's why it was so early. It was like sometimes they'd start at 7 in the morning, 8 o'clock on a Saturday. But I did want to let you know that is one of the things that they do, that they're one of their programs is that. So hopefully as they start building and they have more people, that'll be something that they'll be able to go back to because I don't believe they've actually continued
because they haven't had any help.
Correct. So that is one thing. And you don't have to be on the street in order to help. But I was just letting everybody know that a flyer was given on each one. And as far as determining which street they do, they have the meeting. They all just pick a street. So I just want everybody to know that that is something. So if anybody is interested in helping them, maybe go to their meetings and say, I'm not on your committee, but I'll help if you want to start that again. But I will entertain a motion for this applicant.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept Maria D. Lozano for the Beautification Committee.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Martin, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, to appoint Maria Lozano to a position on the Beautification for a term expiring October 1, 2022. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Azubaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Dreyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Hernandez?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, if you can please let Ms. Lozano know that she has been appointed, and I know that that team, we also did get information from their chairperson, person, Kat McGarity, who was excited and made a point to email to ask us to please appoint this person. So. All right, we will move to item H, discussion and possible action regarding a radio system for the Public Works Department. If you guys recall, we talked about this briefly last meeting, and it was just somebody had asked if we could just go ahead and try to get proposals just to see what it would cost since the Public Works Department did not have radios with them. Mr. Ives, do you want to say anything towards this, or Monique?
we put into your package a cost estimate as well as the model and the photo for the handheld radios. Actually, our finance director got this cost estimate from David Will. Our radios for fire and police with right now. And this one is just a more of a basic handheld radio. We looked at a couple of different options. One would be having a base station located at the hall and handheld, or just having all handheld radios. So the process that they did was for 6 handheld radios. So one would stay at City Hall, the other 5 would be one for every water employee. The purpose of that was to put them all on one channel. They don't really need them to stay in the truck. They have the radios to move around with them, so we needed to reach them. And I know this came up because we talked about cutoff days. They're all out in the field doing water cutoffs. We're not allowed to use employees' personal cell phones, so the only way to reach them is to physically go out there and try to find them, or you turn off somebody's water that may have run into your house and it's paid. So that total cost estimate was, and we don't really need the second option, that is for the coil speakers, like that's the company. That you can wear on your shoulder. So we don't really need that option, but everything else will cost us $11,220. That would just give you your 6 radios for all your programming, and then they have their own channel. And then in addition to that, you would pay $18 a month per radio for the subscription. And then there's also, I believe they put in here, an annual fee of $500 as well.
Who's that? What company? Daily Wells?
We can go around and look for another cost estimate. This is
just got one. Just kind of give us an idea.
I work for S&P Communications, which is their biggest competitor. And you only need a single channel. You don't need half of what is on that radio. And you can have them up to 5 watts, and 5 watts will talk around this city entirely on one channel. And I bet you a dollar to a nickel that I can get that probably about two-thirds of what those radios are. Nothing against Daily Will, but they're locked in with the city. They're locked in with a lot of people. And there are a viable, and I would be happy to take that on and bring it back to you by the next meeting if I'm here. If not, I'll still bring it to you. When I bought this up, that's not what I intended it to be when I bought this up. As the city, you can go out and buy these radios yourself. You don't need a broadcast station.
No.
You don't need specific channels left and right. But the radios, the same radios that this company is giving you, you can go to Motorola and get a T465 two-way radio, two of them for under $100. And the same thing that they're telling you, these radios do the same thing. They have a 35-mile range.
Can you connect multiple ones?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're all, you got a programming.
You can get two for $94, four for under $200, six for under $300. You know, they're outdoor radios. They're ultra durable, waterproof. They fall in the water, they're going to float. And built-in LDDs. It does have a channel for NOAA radio with alert. It's got some channels in it, almost the same channels that these guys got, but not for the price that they're trying to give y'all. And all those radios come with belt clips, batteries, wall adapters, and you can get a 3-year protection plan for $45. And the total cost of that, what was the total cost that they were giving us? That cost on our own only be $422. That's what I was looking at when I originally bought this up. Wasn't looking to go through all that.
The difference is, too, on these.
If you go to factory outlet store where they specialize in these Motorola radios, that's what your price will be.
And the difference, too, is that, see, they were going to put you on one of their frequencies. Oh, Daily Wells owns so many frequencies. And commercial, they probably weren't going to put you on a commercial frequency.
And you were going to have to pay, what, $18 a month for radio?
And see, these are locked in channels, and it's...
And not only that, if you want all y'all's guys to have a radio, you can go up to 8 radios, all for under $400. Still the same protection plan.
Right.
What are the models?
The model is T465 Motorola two-way radio. And you can find them at the factoryoutletstore.com.
Right.
And their main uses is for camping, hunting. The same thing that these guys are going to be using, because they're going to be out in the rain. They're going to be out in the water. They're going to drop them. But it comes with it. No extra range is 35 miles.
Yeah, or 2 by 10.
Depending on the conditions of the weather, but, you know, it's not any more than what we're going to need here.
The only other thing that occurs is topography.
That'll be able to put a radio for y'all guys inside City Hall, put a radio on the main guy's vehicle, and then he can be able to distribute the other radios. And you can buy up to 8 and still come out way ahead.
if you want to.
That was just the first quote we got.
Oh, yeah. When I saw that, I was going to call you, but I said, I'll wait till get mad at her later.
I was going to suggest maybe Mr. Ives would want to look for his own radios for his own crew so he knows what he wants, besides maybe just a side button. I'm not sure what this one has that you're suggesting, but I was thinking maybe we should let Mr. Ives pick his radios for his group.
Well,
with that information in mind.
Well, I've been out there with them when I used to work here, so I know what they need. But he's more than welcome to look at them. Tina's got the information,
mm-hmm.
and you can go from there.
What do you think? Can I take it on?
Yes, sir, of course. I'll be real happy to do that. I am here to serve the great citizens of the city of Derby. And as always, we want to do everything best we can for as little money as possible so that we can do as much as possible.
Okay.
What was that?
T-what? All right, thanks, Michael. Thank you, Mr. All right, we have already done I. We'll go to J, discussion and possible action on changing the May regular council meeting dates in accordance with ordinance number O-2020-886 due to unforeseen discrepancies with regular meeting dates and time.
Just to remind everyone, we listed that ordinance number because at the end of last year, the council revised our ordinance. Before, it only allowed us to change a meeting date if it fell on a holiday. But what we learned, there are other reasons to change a meeting date, such as early voting, which is what caused us to do it at that time. So this particular instance is because our election day is May 1st, and the state law says you have 10 days after the election to canvass your vote. Our first meeting in May is not scheduled for May 13th, so we would need to have a special meeting
May 6th.
In advance of that within the 10 days. So staff is recommending that we go ahead and just move that May meeting up to the 6th. And then if you decide to do that, you may want to consider moving up the second meeting. It's only optional because there would be a longer gap between the meetings. So you may want to consider the 6th and the 20th. That way you'll still have them in 2 weeks apart. Or you could keep the 6th and the 27th, whatever you prefer. But we do have no other option as far as moving up the first meeting. We don't see a need to have 3 meetings in 1 month.
6th and what was it? 20?
May 6th is the first Thursday of the month.
Right.
That falls within
that
the city.
That one you have to have.
And then if you want to move the 27th meeting up 1 week, the meeting 2 weeks apart, that would be the 20th.
Well, and we don't have another meeting on that Thursday, on the 20th, by any other group.
Now, the only group that meets on Thursday is the council. So
okay.
Every Thursday, we don't do any other.
Well, folks, I make a motion that we handle with the 6th and 20th.
Second. Did you second that?
Yes.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to have the May meetings be held on May 6th and May 20th. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Martin, have anything? Just to make sure, because I don't see. Okay. All right. Well, our city secretary, please call roll.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. All right, so just so everybody's clear, the meetings will be May 6th and May 20th.
Yeah. I'll call you.
May 6th and May 20th.
Well,
I'll be here for the May 6th one. I'll be here for the May 20th, just not on the side. All right. Got that one. All right, can I open both of these at the same time? Yes? Okay. All right. Item 10, executive session. Item A, update discussion and possible action on Springfield Road properties. Possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code, Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. And 10B, deliberation on review, evaluation, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the city manager. Possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code, Section 551.074, personnel matters. I will close our regular meeting at 9 p.m. Okay. Regular meeting of April 22nd, 2021. Our executive session closed at 11:11. On item 11A, update discussion of possible action on Springfield Road properties, no action was taken. On 11B, discussion of possible action on review and evaluation of the city manager. I will entertain motions.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we extend the current city manager's contract as is verbatim to the end of April 2023.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, seconded by Councilmember Greider to extend, renew the city manager contract until April 30th, 2023. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Yes.
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 Yes. All right, we will move to item 12A, requests by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Yes. I am the longest serving member at the present, may not be after this, you don't know. But I have to say, out of all the elections, like 10 or 12, whatever it is, I have never seen more petty, childish, immature actions from some people. Nobody in this room, nobody in this city, including myself, has the right to call out a citizen at their home and tell them a sign is illegal. The only course that you have is to look it up online, fill out the thing for the Attorney General's office for the civil side, and mail it in. But these people felt a little bit intimidated. It's kind of funny. You know? You need to find better things to do. Just run your campaign. Then also I find that a little neighborhood squabble over leaf blowers. Police are called, and the other meritorial person shows up and gets in the middle of it. This is a person that wants to serve the citizens of Kirby, all of the citizens of Kirby. And what does he do? He takes one of them aside. Oh, that's the person that has the sign in his front yard. And then the neighbor comes from across the street and, oh my goodness, it appears on Facebook. But it appears again, on a heavy edited page. You know, I mean, I'm tired. I've never seen people act so immature and so childish when all you need to do is run your campaign, leave my family out of it, especially my son who's deceased, who didn't need to be brought into it. And, he's gone. But as far as the gentleman that commented on wanting the mayor to apologize, that was asinine. It wasn't. He owned it. It was his. There was no names mentioned. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Salazar.
I think Mike took the words out of my mouth. But just for you, Mayor, been a pleasure.
Oh, yes.
I know you're going to have one more starting meeting the next time we gather. But it's always been a pleasure to be around y'all, because being around y'all didn't always mean I was here. I was out there in the street, and you and John, and we all got together. We all got along. It isn't the way it is now with some of these guys here. We all got along, and I'm going to miss that. And, you know, I'm glad that we had you for the little bit of time that we had you.
Councilmember Hernandez.
Well, I was out campaigning. I spoke to a lot of people that kept complaining about yards and stuff, so I just took down some memos that I'll be passing on to the Veterans Standard League. Anyway, and they also wanted to convey about speeding on Charles Conrad right there in front of the right there in front of the
that woman right there.
Hmm?
Do her talk right
there. Okay. Stop, you're looking at my eyes. Anyway, they were complaining about speeding on Charles Conrad in front of the swimming pool area and stuff. And I'd really like to find some way to stop that. I mean, I hear them. I live in that area. I hear them at night all the time. They're just buzzing. And the person who brought that up to me lives right in that area. And he saw where one almost hit a child that was over there. So before we have someone get hurt, I'd really like to see something be done. So if we can put something in for the memo, for the next meeting about that. And mm-hmm. Anything that can be brought up. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Other than that, let me see. The next one could be my last one. So, well, it was a pleasure working with everybody.
You'll still be able to say outgoing comments the next month.
Outgoing comments. Okay, but I enjoy this city, and I appreciate everyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am.
Councilmember Breyer.
So I just want to say that I would expect, just there were some comments made and observations made, brought to my attention, and I just want to say I would expect anyone, and I'll just make this statement and make it clear, anyone on any board, committees, commissions, council, mayor, city staff members, to always act professionally and respectfully, because that is what you should do. That's what I do. So I just want to make that clear that I am not choosing sides. I'm on the side of the city, period. So I just want to make that statement again, as I've said several times. Moving forward, also I just want to say, because I know it's not your, well, technically almost your official, unofficial last time. I just want to say, since I've been up here, I've learned a lot. Things are not always as they appear to be. There's things that I didn't even realize how in depth in certain things that you have to deal with by sitting up here. And also to you, Mayor Lisa, I want to say thank you for taking the time to speak with me. If I have any questions or anything like that, you've always been, you have a wealth of knowledge, encouraging, because it just, I think I've only been up here 2 months, and it's gotten tough. So, you know, you have to have thick skin, but it's also good to have people in your corner. And, like, you know, as adults and as professionals, you agree to disagree. That's what you're supposed to do. That's true leadership. And I will say, since I've been up here, out of everybody up here, I have witnessed that, and I would put that on record. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Abadaka.
Lisa, you've taught me a lot. Again, sitting out there is so different from sitting up here. You don't know what we do up here till you get up here. And you've taught me a lot. You've given me different perspectives. You've shown me. You've remained calm when I don't know how you did it, but you remained calm, and I commend you for that. So I'm really going to miss you. And the other thing is, the Senior Center will be having a taco plate sale Saturday. I think it starts at 11 to 3. It's street tacos with rice and beans and a bottle of water, if anybody's interested. $8 a plate.
Or whatever you want to give.
And we'll be selling the raffle tickets for the Mother's Day baskets. They are $2 each, if anybody's interested. We've got, I think there's 9 baskets now. 8, 10?
12.
12, okay.
One of them goes to my mom.
So there's 12 baskets, and each basket has the items in the basket and also a gift card. We've got one basket with Scentsy products, one with makeup, one with bath and body, just a whole bunch of, just a little bit of everything. But they're really nice. Pepper chips. So they're really nice. And I think there's a picture on the website. I'm not sure.
There is. I don't know all of them, but I know that they posted.
But they're really nice. That's it.
Councilmember
Mark. You sure? Okay. I just want to thank everyone for staying. The last 2 meetings have been long. I want to wish everybody well in the election. Everybody, you know, good luck to everyone. And I want to thank the city, the staff, for everything they do for us. We really appreciate it. And that's all I have.
So early voting is still going on, so you have plenty of opportunities to vote. If you don't get early voting, May 1st is the election. Again, Senior Center information going on. This week is also, starting tomorrow, is the community-wide garage sale. So the city does have the information posted for addresses that chose to have their address published. But please don't stop there. Please drive the streets so you can see if other people are participating. It's a great opportunity. So, Monique, thank you for getting that going, because this is not a normal time that we do this. So I think that this is a great way for everybody to get in front of the pickup that's coming, or the bulk spring cleanup that's coming, so that way people can get that stuff picked up. And
that's May 10th, right?
Yeah, May 10th
through
the 18th.
10th through the
18th.
At the public works yard.
And
this is
point of information, if I may.
Yes.
So, it's not curbside. We do curbside in the fall. I want to remind everybody, you have to take over to the public works yard. You do have to show proof of residency. It is not for businesses to participate. And one thing that's been getting questions about, for liability reasons, the public works employees cannot get into your back of your truck or your vehicle and pull items out for you. So they will, if you get them out of your vehicle and you place them on the ground, then they can take care of getting them into the rollout. We are not able to unload people's vehicles for them for safety and liability. However, I would like to encourage you to help your neighbors. You know, we've had that happen in the past. If you have neighbors who don't have a truck or they can't lift those items, if you can assist with that, because unfortunately our staff is not able to do that for you. They'll do as much as they can, but they can't do certain things. Is there another event I'm forgetting?
No, that was probably it. The Kirby Animal Shelter, we're at full capacity, so if anybody is interested in adopting a dog, I'm sure that the staff would love to see you. Thank you, everybody, for staying. Thank you, Council. I'm happy, Monique, that the decision was made to extend your contract for 2 years. It wasn't a political statement. I think that you've done a great job for the city. Is everything perfect? No. Do you acknowledge that there's things to work on? Yes. And so I just, I'm really happy for the future. I'm super excited that the money is coming directly to the city. I cannot stress that enough, because that will be a great start to something that was so tremendously horrible for our city, especially the little cities. Dollar General is building, and they're almost in completion, so we're hoping to see that before summer. There's some other projects in the works, so hopefully we'll get that going. But good luck to everybody in the election. I'm hoping that the results come back fairly quickly. That is the other thing, that because used to, before they had voting centers, I just wanted to stress that used to, before they had voting centers, we all knew at the time, shortly after polls closed. However, now that you can vote anywhere, you have to wait till all the polls are closed before they send the information to Patty. Big votes are not counted on site. Patty and Monique and myself are not in the back, you know, checking off names or anything like that. So it is, nothing is being housed here. It's done elsewhere. Patty is given the information electronically. She will stand out there if it's in decent hour and let everybody know what unofficial votes are. So I just want everybody good luck, be safe, thank you for staying. And again, thank you to all of our employees. Thank you to our police department who played firefighters today. You know, it smelled like barbecue. But everybody be safe. The weather is going to get ugly, so take care. And meeting adjourned.